listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 48 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is the host with the most, Mark.
This is Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
So we are here in the studio after our last episode when we had Justin and George from Grey Bear Comics. And Justin's also part of the Comical Podcast and George is part of Metal Geeks. And we want to give them a quick shout out to make sure you go to greybearcomics.com. Hit their fundraiser for their Kickstarter. They are so close. They've got about, 9 or 10 days left from today's recording?
Oh, yeah.
They're about $800 away. Even a dollar helps them. We really want to give them another shout-out for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And we hope they make their goal so we can all read Speak No Evil. And that is the name of their comic because it's going to be really cool. And so please go to greybearcomics.com and help those guys out. So now we move on to episode 48 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. That is found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all those great things. And we are also part of the Comic Palooza podcast partnership for 2016. Comic Palooza is June 16th, 17th, and 18th. And we are going to be there recording a live show. And we will be reporting from the con floor as far as interviews and stuff we hope to bring you this summer from Comic Palooza. And we will be doing some more Comic Palooza stuff as it gets closer to the con. So make sure you listen for that. And so, what's going on, guys?
Oh, man, you know, it's nice out for once. It's, you know, if anyone is not here in Houston, they don't know that, you know, it was a pretty wet week.
Yeah, you know? We've been a little bit of flooding.
A little bit more than just wet.
You know, it's like if it continued being like that, we would have been rowing over here.
I mean, Frank literally did the backstroke to work.
Yes, he did. All the way. He set some kind of world record, but everyone was in their homes, so they didn't get to see it. So,
yeah, there was
shout out to Frank for you know, breaking.
I wonder if someone on video out there has Frank doing the backstroke.
I think so.
What was funny is, like, after all that rain, I was at work. One of the guys calls in. He's like, my car's flooded out in the middle of the road. So I wasn't sure where he was at. So on the way home, I'm like, hey, look, some idiots got their car flooded out in the middle of the road to come out to find out that was their car.
And you did the backstroke over there and helped him out because
No, I just went home.
Frank did some stroking for him.
He's like, no, I went home and I had a beer. I was like, okay.
No beer for Frank.
Oh, no beer for Frank. That's right.
He's being a vagina and quitting beer, or so he says.
He'll drinking. Be back on it.
Just drinking in general.
Just drinking in general. It rained so much he didn't have to drink. He just absorbed it.
Into his body.
Into his body by osmosis.
Fell into the bat.
Soaked it up. There's something in the rain. I mean, now Frank is an
X-Man. Shaved his beard over here, and it's like, it's a new Frank.
New Frank.
That looks like
it's
he's
like
12.
New Coke.
Are you going to give up vagina, too? I mean, you're giving up everything else.
Look, beer. Look, I said I was giving up beer, not committing suicide. Okay?
So, on the Frank front, we should make a formal announcement. This Frank is going to kind of take a part-time role in Rebel Radio, so you might not have to hear his voice very often.
Yeah, my schedule is not as flexible as these guys.
Because he's giving up boobs and stuff.
No, just because of my job.
Frank he's going to be doing the backstroke, you know, over other flooded areas, and you can probably catch Frank, you know, on the daily news every once in a while.
I'm getting so far is the key word today is stroke.
He's gonna seek out a new career as the new Rod Jeremy.
I was so lucky.
Kind of looks like him a little
I'm
bit.
I'm not that gifted. I'm fat like him, but not gifted like him, unfortunately. Yeah.
So,
better looking, though.
So we're 2 weeks away from Captain America Civil War, which is the next big film after Batman vs. Superman earlier this year, and Deadpool, as far as comic books in the genre that we tend to cover on the Rebel Radio Podcast. And so we're going to be talking the next couple of shows as we gear towards Captain America Civil War. And we're going to get some sad stuff out of the way, though, first today. As a lot of people know, along with the floods here in Houston, Prince has passed away this week and at 57 years old. And I did a little article on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, just giving a few thoughts on Prince, and it struck the nation. I have to say this might be the biggest icon since Michael Jackson was. Has it been about 10 years since Michael Jackson? I can't remember. I think it was
05
or 06, yeah. And the outpouring of emotion from across the world for him has been just unbelievable, because I personally didn't realize how big he was. I think he's one of those guys that I'm aware of who he was. I wouldn't say I'm a fan, But yet you are a fan because you're familiar who he is. You're familiar with the songs. We all know about the outrageous costumes, the flamboyancy of him.
Oh, yeah.
And his backlash always against the mainstream. You know, he always wanted to do his own thing. And so it was a saddened and sudden shock because 2016 has been a very rough one. Celebrities, you know, David Bowie and Glenn Frey, Gary Shandling, Alan Rickman, and now Prince.
Man, we've lost a lot of good singers and stars in general this year.
Of course, Prince had a comic book connection. He was a huge Batman fan. It's one of his favorite characters in the world that he seeked out to be a part of 1989's Batman. So Tim Burton, of course, had him do some music for the film. We all remember the quirky, kind of weird bat dance video that he did. And when the Joker's walking into the art gallery and he's destroying all the art to Prince music in the background. And that was kind of Prince's gift to the comic book world that we tend to talk about on this show. So for my generation, for me and Frank, who's a little bit older, Prince, that's kind of what we remember him as, this flamboyant fan, one of the most amazing guitar players ever.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget just about 10 years ago when he played at the Super Bowl, and it still might be the best Super Bowl halftime performance ever. A lot of people were like kind of freaking out, like, is he going to do something weird, something bizarre? But Prince just got on stage at the Super Bowl and showed the world why he was so good at what he did. He didn't do anything too weird like people thought he was going to do. He just put on a great performance.
Excellent performance. So
y'all's thoughts on the passing of Prince this past week?
Yeah, man. I saw this this meme out there, and it said, you know, it was basically all who we lost. And it said the King had Michael Jackson, the Queen it had Freddie Mercury, and then it had the Duke, Bowie. The Prince. It was just Prince. And then it had the Jester, and it was Robin Williams. So it was like, you know, the court, the full court of cards. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So they're probably all up there just jamming out.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine Prince, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, all these great musicians, Kurt Cobain, that are gone. And there's so much talent in the world. And some of those guys are going for different reasons, and some, you know. But we lost Prince this week. And Frank, I know you were of my generation, so you remember Prince coming out of the 80s. And
oh, yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I wasn't a fan of his. He grew on me, like, quick, too. Like, once, actually, be honest with you, he grew on me once that Batman album came out. Then I started paying attention to his music and, you know, Little Red Corvette.
Frank would dance in the shower to Let's Go Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all those songs, you know. But, you know, it was a kind of a shock to me whenever I heard about that, you know. And, of course, the first thought to my brain, and that sound cheesy, was the Doves Are Truly Crying Now, because we lost a great musician, performer, talent.
It's going to make us tear up.
You know,
man.
And like I said, you know, I couldn't think, you know, and people love all their artists, but in that type of music, since Michael Jackson passed away, I can't think of a bigger name, you know. When it comes to that, like, and the class of music.
The funny thing about Prince is a lot of people in the music world, sometimes there gets a lot of flack between rap and rock and roll artists. Like, you know, the P. Diddy's and Kanye West's of the world don't always want to be associated with rock acts. And Prince was one of those that he would play with anybody. He respected fellow musicians and artists across the world. He supported people, you know, and that was the amazing thing about him. He never was in that hip-hop world, because he was more of a soul, R&B, jazzy type singer that played a little rock side, but he also was a little bit of, you know, on the hip-hop side too. He was kind of in the middle, you know, and that was a great thing about him, the support he gave. And he, some people felt like he stood up for the little man, because he was always anti-establishment. He always believed in what he believed in, but he wasn't anti-establishment to the point that he was like, oh, screw everybody. He was just was more, he stuck to what he believed in no matter what. And that's why he changed his name in 2000.
Yeah,
he was fighting against a record label. And because he, not because he was being a jerk, he was doing it because he wanted to stay for what he believed in. And the record label was trying to screw him over. He's like, well, you know, I'm going to screw you off, you know. And he always stayed true to his beliefs. And he was still touring. So amazing musician. And, you know, and it's just gone too soon, as a lot of those guys are, you know. And so Prince, no longer with us.
Sadly.
And so we're going to do some happy stuff on Rebel Radio now after we depressed you all.
Yes.
And I want to do some more. We're going to stay on music a little bit. And we're going to be talking some Spider-Man here a little bit, as we were talking about getting ready for Captain America Civil War. But being a big Batman fan, as I am, and Prince was, and you guys are Batman fans too, Everyone knows I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. It's my favorite band in the world. And this week, and after the sadness of Prince, Eddie Vedder decided to release some adorability onto the world. Yes, I don't know if that's a real word or adorability. But
Eddie Vedder
released on his SoundCloud profile him and his daughter covering the Batman theme song from the 1966 awesome. Batman television series. It's really cute, really adorable. It's only about a minute and a half long. I'm going to play it for you guys because I think people should hear this. So this is Eddie Vedder and his daughter doing the Batman theme song. So that was Eddie Vedder and his daughter Harper doing the Batman TV theme song from the 1966 Batman. Really cute and kind of adorable. You can hear Eddie in the background letting his daughter shine on it. And you can tell she has a lot of fun. He has a little repetitive, but it's really cute and a little bit of cuteness to go with after talking about Prince there. You know, and like I said, I'm a big fan of that band, as I always have been. I've seen them like 9 or 10 times. I've lost track. And one of the greatest bands in the world and one of my all-time favorites. So hopefully that made you smile a little bit hearing little Harper Vedder sing with her father there the Batman theme song. And because Eddie Vedder's a big Batman fan, too, a lot of people don't know. It seems to be like a lot of musicians are Batman fans.
Batman's cool.
Yeah.
And then basketball dark. Players
and he's kind of got that
fans.
Rock and roll thing going with him, you know. I guess.
Does he? Does a lot of rock stars have utility belts?
Possibly. So, before we get
into capes.
Before we get into the part of the show where we prepare people for the Captain America Civil War in a couple weeks, Marvel did drop a new trailer this week for their next film, Doctor Strange. And it's been kind of met with mixed reactions. People are calling it an Inception kind of Batman Begins lookalike. Like, it looks like a Nolan film.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it looked uncool or nothing, but I kind of watched the trailer and was like, you know, it's kind of how I felt about it. I'm not a huge, I don't know a lot about Doctor Strange, not a huge fan, so I don't know what to make of the film. I think Benedict Cumberbatch looks really cool in the role, and the movie looks cool, I don't know. It's Marvel Studios going to a different realm here with magic and things, so we'll see. What were your thoughts on the trailer?
Like you said, it was dark and Nolan filmy. I mean, all I really know about Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate, part of that world, is from watching
Doctor Fate's DC comics.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been reading DC too, but
too many doctors for Matt.
Yeah, there's too many doctors. Doctor Doom, you know. But you know, all I know is from watching. You know, they had a run in with Spider-Man in the '90s cartoons, and I saw him from that, and I know he's magic, and I'm gonna have to, you know, wait until the second trailer and they reveal a little bit more, but he looks spot on for the role.
Yeah, Benedict looks great in the role. I think
the last time, you know, I saw a trailer and I was like, happened to be the trailer for Mad Max, so what does that tell you?
It just tells you that Frank goes for a lot of trailers, you know. I don't know. But we'll see. It's hard to go wrong with Marvel. Most of what they've done in so far in these Marvel Studios films have been 90% pretty good. There's a couple of films, like me and Matt talk about, I think Iron Man 2 is terrible. Yeah. You know, Matt always wants to throw things back at me. It's not that bad. Not a huge fan of the first Thor. I think it's kind of, it should have taken more place on Asgard, like the second, I don't know, you know. So I have there's some Marvel Studio films that I think aren't great. But
did you read that link about, I mean, speaking about Iron Man 2, just to get off topic for a second, did you see that link that I sent you, but why it went?
I ignored the link.
Okay, well, like, apparently the script was rushed, and they were just trying to make money, you know, and get it produced.
Well, yeah, Marvel Studios wasn't perfect in the early days.
But here's the thing. They're still watchable.
Oh, yeah. Even Iron Man 1's not as good as with the Marvel Studios films we get now, but it was the first film. And
body of work.
It's funny because people like to think Iron Man is... I think it came out around the same time as something else that came out that people said didn't have enough action in it. And I told him, I said, Iron Man 2, really, if you watch Iron Man 2, there's maybe 15 minutes of action in the film.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of talking and a lot of setup. You know, it's not as much action as people think it is.
It's like the quest for a new core for Iron Man.
But yeah,
pretty much.
So we are 8 years into the Marvel Studios world, and next year we're getting Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Thor 3, and... more films. Oh, and Spider-Man, which we're going to be talking about in a moment. So
how many is that next year? I know it's like, what, six this year? So how many next year?
Well, it's only two Marvel Studios films this year.
No, I mean, the superhero movies in general.
Who knows next year? I can't even... I mean, we got Wonder Woman next year. Yep. Justice League, if it doesn't get pushed back.
Do you think people are going to get burnt out of superhero movies?
I don't think so. I think people are happy when there's enough market for them across the world that these characters are ingrained into our culture. I think there may come a time... I think Steven Spielberg was right in a sense that maybe 15, 20 years from now that there'll be like Westerns where so many of them that people got tired of Westerns. But you got to think, when Spielberg said that, Westerns were from 1950s all the way into almost the 80s.
Yep.
Okay. So Westerns had a run for 30 years, and I don't see superhero movies going anywhere anytime soon.
I do have a question. Now, that's not meaning it's a bad movie. I'm just saying, in general, once the box office numbers and sales are complete by the end of the year... out of all the hero movies that are coming out, which one do you think will fall at the bottom, and which one do you think will ultimately stay at the top?
For this year?
Yes, for this year. That was released this year.
I think Suicide Squad, it's too early to tell, but if I had to base one right now, I think it won't make as much money as the other films.
Including Doctor Strange?
I think Suicide Squad, as it gets closer and the reviews come, if it's well-reviewed, it'll jump. If Suicide Squad is well-reviewed, it will do Guardians-type business. All of a sudden, people are like, okay, I have to go see it.
And what if the big shocker is that it's X-Men that doesn't do well? Do you think that'll...
I think X-Men will do fine.
It's not up in the realm of like maybe may not do the, Avengers and DC and Batman.
It's not going to do 300 million. No. You know. Yeah. The problem with Memorial Day movies is when they release movies on Memorial Day, it always seems like a great holiday to release. And it used to be. But now I think that Memorial Day comes, schools let out, people go on vacation. And you notice that the last few years, a movie will open huge on Memorial Day, then it tapers off. And it's because people aren't in town as much. Yeah. So that's why you're seeing more movies move into April and May and opening up earlier for the box office. You know, Winter Soldier opened up in April a couple years ago. Batman Superman opened up in late March this year. At the end of the year, I think Civil War is going to be the number one comic book movie of the year. It's tracking for $175 million opening, which is huge. Early reviews are good. And it will probably be the number one comic movie of the year. Number one overall, I think Rogue One will do gangbuster business. I have a feeling that Star Wars is so huge right now.
But I'm talking about like true comic books.
No, I know.
Like
well, I'm just talking, well, we were talking about the box office for the year. I think Civil War will be one of the Marvel Studios' biggest hits yet. I could see it making $400 million, $400 to $500. It won't, I don't think it will quite do Avengers numbers, but it could. But I think at the end of the year, Rogue One won't do $935 million. Like, Force Awakens, but
well, no, because we hadn't had a Star Wars movie in quite a while.
I could see Rogue One doing $500 or $600 million again, being just another huge monster's hit.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, you know, it's going to do well. And it's a different, you know, take in a sense.
And that's, you know, we're sitting here predicting box office in April. It's hard to tell. We don't know what kind of reviews Apocalypse will get. We don't know what kind of reviews Ninja Turtles or any of these other films will come out. Independence Day. All these other sci-fi comic book related movies.
I forgot about Independence
Day. They released a new trailer. Well, actually, I put it on TrustMeOnJedi.com this morning because I didn't realize they released it. It's much better.
It doesn't hold up.
Much better
than
the first trailer.
I still like Independence Day, even though it doesn't hold up.
It's got moments.
Yeah, it has its moments. I'm just not right now that excited about the new one.
The new trailer is much better than the first trailer. I have to give it that. It looks more
very
sci-fi-ish. You know, I like it. So, you know, that's our April's box office predictions. I don't know how we got onto that, but we did somehow.
Because of Biscuit.
Biscuit wants to predict Biscuit's box office.
No, well,
bombs.
I just was mainly just talking about which comic book movies you thought were going to do well and not as well.
I mean, I think they'll all do fairly well. I'm with you, though. I can see Doctor Strange being an Ant-Man size hit. Ant-Man didn't do super well. It did good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it did like $200 million. That's still pretty good.
Right, yeah.
And I can see Doctor Strange doing something like that.
I can too, because it's not going to have that humor and quirkiness and just that feel good moments like
it doesn't have the
Guardians did.
And it doesn't have the familiarity to the children that want to go see these movies. That say mom and dad want to go see that. You know, these kids see Doctor Strange, they're like, "Huh, what?" You know,
exactly.
Ant-Man, at least they're familiar with Ant-Man because of the cartoons and things like that. You know, kids are. So we'll see. There's a lot coming, and we're going to talk more probably on the next show. We'll kind of, as we lead into Civil War, will kind of be our summer movie type preview. So we'll be talking about that more and what we think is going to do at the box office. So today, we're 2 weeks away from Captain America: Civil War, and we are going to prepare you for that. And of course, Spider-Man is coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Finally, I think everyone's super excited about this. About a year ago this time was when they announced the news, and we had the evil Dr. Tran, who's part of our podcasting family on TrustMeOnJedi.com, listen to the show The Warp Cave. That's the only plug you get long. Damn it, Nufskin. And so he Warp was Cave. On the show, and we talked about Spider-Man coming to the MCU last year with the news, and now the moment's finally here. And this isn't a spoiler, but in case people are wondering how much Spider-Man really is in this film. And from early reviews, they're saying about 20 to 25 minutes. So it's much more Spider-Man than we were thinking. I think a lot of people thought it might be 5-10 minutes at the end of the film, but they say he's in it a good last half hour of the movie. And Captain America is the longest film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far. I've been reading, I think it clocks in at about 2 hours and 20, 25 minutes. Oh, so wow. Civil War is the longest Marvel movie so far.
I'm not surprised that he's in it a little bit more. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit more of the other characters that we haven't seen, like the
Black Panther.
Yeah,
possibly.
Black Panther. It looks like there's a lot of Black Panther in it from
that. We'll get to see them more, and because they want to either movies for them or TV series or whatever may be. So we'll see a little bit more of them.
Well, from what I've read of the early reviews, it very much is a Captain America film for the first hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes of the film. Mm-hmm. And the other characters are in it, but then they all come together, of course, for this epic parking lot battle at the end.
Yeah. I'm still a little confused on some of the matchups. And,
yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. But they announced the title for Spider-Man this week. It's called Spider-Man Homecoming. And the title was mixed with, you know, kind of mixed reviews for like Homecoming, and they released the logo and it's kind of cartoonish looking. But I think Marvel and Sony are trying to definitely establish that this is a whole new thing. They're trying to get away from the Andrew Garfield films and things like that. And I actually like the title. For people that don't know, the title comes from the original storyline in which Venom appeared in the comics. That storyline was called Homecoming. So I think a lot of people saw that title and they were thinking, oh, it's Homecoming of the Marvel Universe.
Well, I thought but it was also, kind of a spin on that.
Yes, and it also has ties with one of the most popular Spider-Man storylines of all time. And I don't think that means Venom's appearing in the film or anything. He could. We don't know. You know, it's very possible Venom appears in this film.
That we're not going to get like a reboot, hopefully.
There's been a lot of rumors going on about, you know, who the villain is, whether it's Vulture, Green Goblin again. I like the Green Goblin, but I don't think you do him again yet. I think you wait a little bit in this universe. Mm-hmm. And then they announced this week that Robert Downey Jr. will be appearing in Spider-Man Homecoming. So we'll get Iron Man in it, because they had confirmed that other Marvel heroes will be appearing in Spider-Man. So I am very excited for it with Tom Holland playing Spider-Man. From early word is that he's fantastic in the role, going back to a younger Peter Parker. I hope, I'm with Frank, I don't want to see a full reboot. I don't have a problem if they do the origin. Maybe in a way they did it for Batman and Batman vs. Superman. Maybe a quick little opening, obviously not a dream sequence, but just something, or like they handled The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton when they rebooted it. And they kind of did the origin through the credits. Something along those lines I'd be fine with.
How about we just start the movie off with them at his uncle's funeral? And then take it from there. Mm-hmm. We kind of pretty much know what happens.
Yeah, because poor Uncle Ben, how many times do we have to see him die?
I know, exactly. That's like Batman's parents. We already know he gets bit by a spider and this and that. How about we just start with him at the funeral and then kicks right into him being a hero?
So, well, it could be. We'll see. And so Spider-Man Homecoming is coming next year into theaters next July. But how did we get to this point? Spider-Man is arguably one of the most popular characters in the world. We talked Batman earlier. Batman is obviously one of the top. I think when you talk superheroes, I think it's in no particular order. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. I think that's pretty across the world. If you ask a little old lady in India, have you heard of these three? She's going to know who one of them are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just those three characters. And Wonder Woman, I think, is close up into that mix, but definitely those three as the three most popular characters in the world.
I would say for the longest running time, those three.
I mean, you're getting more characters that are popular now because of these films and animated series and the fact that they're in our pop culture. You walk into a Walmart or a Target and they're all over T-shirts and everything. So,
I think you're right because, okay.
Now I know I'm right. I'm Mark.
Okay, so I saw this picture, and you see these. You remember you made fun of my cosplay costume when I first tried to do Winter Soldier. It was like foil wrapped around my arm. You're like, you know, are you trying to be
me
one
and
of
Frank
those?
Both made fun of you. Don't dollars, just point me out, bitch.
I know. Dollar store. You know, you go to another country, you see these remakes of the, you know, superheroes. And so there's this toy. It's called Sense of Right Alliance. And who are the three characters in this?
I saw that online yesterday. Yeah, Batman, Superman.
Batman, Superman,
Mexican
Spider-Man.
Mexican knockoff toys.
Next to Shrek and a Power Ranger.
they look like Mexican wrestler packaging.
You can go to Trader's Village over here and find all that shit, those knockoff Mark toys.
Who would win in that battle, though? Do you think Shrek would? I am Shrek.
Hey, there's nothing. Hey, honestly, there's nothing wrong with Mexican knockoff toys.
I know. But I'm just, you know, I'm just.
Hey, there are collectors that buy those just because they like the weirdness of them.
Yeah, you know? And I like because some of the styles, they actually look more like luchador wrestlers, like Spider Luchador.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
Lucha Spider-Man.
Lucha Bat.
But we've had Strokey and Mexican knockoff toys in one episode. That's definitely a first for the Rebel Radio Podcast. Yes. Go ahead, Matt.
But yeah, I was just, you know, I figured I'd bring that up because it kind of goes along with your point that, you know, internationally, you know, those three characters are probably the most popular. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how Shrek got in.
Yeah, like, donkey.
If old Shrek and Spider-Man can hold hands or something, I don't know.
Yeah. I thought he was the Green Goblin.
The Green Goblin.
So Spider-Man, as we get ready for him to come in the MCU, he's got a long journey to film, for a lot of people don't know. We're going to look back and talk about Spider-Man today. And Spider-Man's first appearance on television dates back to 1967, when he appeared in Spider-Man, the cartoon. And that was Marvel started in the 60s, of course, so they're having animated television on just less than 10 years after Marvel really kicked off. I mean, Marvel had been around since the 1930s, but the early 60s is when we started getting Spider-Man and X-Men and Fantastic Four. And
that's not black and white.
All that great stuff. No, it was colored. I've seen it before.
It was colored. Teamed up with, like, Iceman.
No, that's the 1980s one.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Jumping the gun, man.
I'm sorry.
Okay, but it must have been black and white for a lot of people, because I'm sure
it ran. You're right. Probably black and white TVs. And it ran for three seasons, and then Spider-Man would reappear in 1981 in another Spider-Man animated series just called Spider-Man. It only ran for one season, and it's funny, it ran in syndication, and it ran at the same time that NBC had Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yes.
So there were two Spider-Man television series on at the same time, animated series, in 1981. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends ran on NBC, and it only ran 26 episodes, but it ran three seasons. So I'm guessing they might have been like eight episodes at a time back then.
Yeah.
Because it ran for 3 years.
Short.
And they were on Netflix for the longest time, and I would watch them every now and then. Michael used to be like, my son Michael was like, Dad, this is old school Spider-Man. It's not as good, but you know. And it had a really cool episode where Wolverine appeared in it and stuff. I don't know if y'all remember.
That one he probably paid attention to.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, was he in the yellow?
He was in the yellow. Mm-hmm. Why do you keep fiddling with a mic cord, Frank? It's like you can't keep your hands to yourself.
I want to ask,
I guess it's better than fiddling with something else.
Do you know the Spider-Man song?
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Maybe Eddie Vedder and his daughter will do that next.
Time. Bring me a taco, haha.
That's the Lucha Spider-Man.
Bring your Spider-Man. I don't know.
Oh my God, okay, let's go on.
So let's go back to the early 80s when Spider-Man was on television and cartoons. And a lot of people forget about, there was also a live-action Spider-Man television show.
Oh, I remember that.
That starred Nicholas Hammond. And
yep.
People think that it's after The Incredible Hulk. It actually wasn't. It aired about a year before The Incredible Hulk aired. And so Marvel wasn't quite successful in television yet, because obviously The Incredible Hulk was a hugely successful show for them. And it aired for like two seasons, I believe, 1978 and 79. Mm-hmm. And it was done as like a pilot movie, and then they filmed a bunch of episodes, and they kind of aired them as like mini movies, if I remember right. They didn't really air them as episodes. And you used to still find those on the Sci-Fi Network back in the day. And They were very late 70s-ish. The costumes, the outfits, a lot of stock footage was used. They would film Nicholas Hammond in the Spider-Man outfit hanging on the building in a certain ways, and they would reuse it in a later episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just like they did with Airwolf in those shows.
They did a lot of movies like
that. Yeah, a lot of TV shows.
I can't remember if it was Spider-Man or Hulk, but the first appearance of Daredevil.
That was in Hulk. It was the very
last. Thor and Hulk, then, both of them?
Yes, they were in the Incredible Hulk TV
last season.
Because the Spider-Man show never really had other Spider-Man characters in it. Like, I think it had Jameson in it, if I remember right, but he never fought villains. It was always just like a thug robbing somebody. It was really ridiculous. It wasn't very good. I remember growing up watching it, like, on reruns on Saturday mornings.
What did they do, like, throw yarn balls at people?
The Sci-Fi Network, when they first came on the air in the late mid-90s, they had the rights to it. And remember, Frank probably remembers this. You probably don't, Matt. But the Sci-Fi Network only had like 6 shows when it first came on. Yeah. Spider-Man was one of them. So you would see the same Spider-Man shows and the Incredible Hulk over and over again.
Let's be honest. The only reason why Sci-Fi survived is because they obtained the rights to Stargate. If it was not for Stargate, that network would probably
that's true because they got lasted. Them in the late 90s and yeah because they would just air the same stuff over and over again. So Spider-Man was on TV, and that's still the only live action incarnation on television of him ever done was the Nicholas Hammond show back in 1978 and 79. And so you probably don't remember that, Matt, but
I remember bits and pieces of it. But I think it's because, you know, I had Sci-Fi Channel, and it's like every once in a while you'd see that, or you'd see the old Wonder Woman, you know, whatever on there, especially the Hulk. You'd see a lot of Hulk.
Yeah, the Hulk was extremely popular.
Leap, I'd see Quantum Leap on
there. That was more late, mid-80s.
Yeah.
And so Spider-Man continued on to be popular in culture. His cartoons ran in syndication. And then in the 90s, we got the very popular Spider-Man animated series that branched off from the X-Men, kind of. And it ran for like 4 seasons. And I know you remember that one. We all do. It had a lot of other appearances from characters in Daredevil and other people. That was great Spider-Man animated series.
I actually own 3 or 4 of those seasons. You can download them on Vudu. It's like 14. I think it's like 14 or 15 bucks a season.
Matt, you pay for stuff nowadays?
Yeah, dude.
You just don't do like Mark and hop on there and just download it.
Download that shit illegally.
But it's like,
that's how I get my porn.
I loved it. It's like, you know, you had the guitar.
You just get it on your phone for free.
the electric guitar intro. And it was used in the, who was that? I can't think of, Peter Frampton. Using that Peter Frampton device, the talking box. In the intro, and it was cool.
What was that you had, Frank? You were showing me on your phone?
It said there was a an electric company, Spider-Man Super Stories.
I don't know. I didn't see that when I was researching things for the show. It must be something that was like a knockoff of some sort, maybe.
Yeah, it's like, even I was like, I remember old shows called The Electric Company.
So it's not on Wikipedia. It's not real. Ha! Yeah, right.
Wikipedia.
Well, this is Wikipedia. Oh, is it? So, I mean, yeah, it is right
there. Electric Company Spidey Super Stories. Spider-Man was an occasional character on the 1970s children's educational show, which presented brief tales using a combination of animation and live action called the Spidey Super Stories. That sounds very 1970-ish.
You know what? I think I had the Electric Company DVD. I'm going to go have to check and see if there's Spidey on there somewhere.
Wait, you own that?
Yeah. I remember that growing up.
Well, this is a guy who owns Breakin' and Breakin' 2 Electro Boogaloo.
If you watched that cartoon, you would know how we got our Bill of Rights and all of that. Because the little guy sings about it.
I'm just a Bill.
So Spider-Man on television has done very well. He's still on television today with Ultimate Spider-Man, which is a very popular cartoon right now on the Disney Network. Kids love it. I watch it, and I think it's a little corny at times, but it's really well done. Lots of characters in it. He also appears on the Avengers cartoon from time to time.
Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man kind of tie together because they're like,
they're somewhat they connect in the same universe.
Because they
Deadpool
both...
popped in there too.
Yeah.
In Ultimate Spider-Man.
Because of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything, they both utilize S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
My
son loves watching that series.
Now, Spider-Man on film, that's very distracting, that girl on your phone, Frank.
Ignore the beautiful girl on my phone.
So Spider-Man on film has had a whole different journey getting to the big screen. Because they kept trying to option Spider-Man in the 80s to film, and it just never worked out. And we did a show earlier this year where we talked about the story of Canon Films' Electric Boogaloo. in the documentary. And they didn't mention this in the documentary, but Canon Films bought the rights for Spider-Man after Superman 3 failed at the box office and all of a sudden superheroes weren't marketable. Canon Films bought the rights of Spider-Man from Marvel for like $200,000 a year, and it was like a three-year deal. That sounds like that's a lot of money to us.
That is a lot of money.
In 1987, $200,000 for movie rights was cheap. You know, because even in the late 80s, movie rights for things were very expensive. Mm-hmm. Because Hollywood producers were buying up all kinds of rights for films because this is what they were doing. So movie rights, that was about the time movie rights started getting very expensive. And so Canon Films had bought the rights to Spider-Man, and they were going to make one of their quirky Spider-Man films out of it. And it was going to be really, really bizarre. Let me see. I have the information here.
Oh, my
here.
Gosh. I can just imagine.
It was a variation of an origin story of... Hold on here now. Let me blow this up so I can read it. Get this. It was a variation of the origin story that had Otto Octavius as a teacher and mentor to a college-age Peter Parker. He had an cyclotron accident called... Oh, this is bizarre. Which creates Spider-Man and also deforms the scientist into Dr. Octopus. And then it results in a mad pursuit of proof of the fifth force. What the hell is the fifth force? And then Doc Ock reconstructs his cyclotron and causes electromagnetic abnormalities, anti-gravity effects, and biolocation, which threatens to engulf New York City and the world. That sounds like a Canon Films thing.
Well, to me, the Canon film, most likely Peter Parker would have been deformed and looked more like a spider, and Dr. Huck would have looked like a giant octopus guy.
It's probably a good thing that film never happened, because it might have destroyed Spider-Man ever getting a film. And it fell apart at the end of the late 80s. You know, Canon Films was starting to fall apart, and they sold most of their stuff. And the two guys, as we talked about in Electro Boogaloo, the two guys that did Canon Films moved on in 1991, and the rights reverted to Marvel, back to Marvel, and it never happened. But can you imagine? I want to know what the fifth force was, though. I wish I could find out. What were they thinking?
I think Mark knows every time he goes to the bathroom what the fifth force is.
You know, Frank, your bathroom things aren't... I've had to walk in the bathroom after you before, and it's like, oh, my Lord.
And it most likely would have destroyed New York.
Yeah.
I destroyed something, though. So Spider-Man's journey continues to film, and Carlico Pictures bought the rights after that. And that's where James Cameron got involved. And James Cameron had written there's a lot of myth in Hollywood that he had written a full Spider-Man script. And it's not true. He actually wrote like a 45-page treatment, or what they called a scriptment. So it had samples of the script in it, and then it had ideas circled around it. And it was a very bizarre, too. It was kind of an adult Spider-Man. Spider-Man cusses in it. Him and Mary Jane apparently have sex on the bridge in the movie. And it was really bizarre.
So he's writing a porno?
And James Cameron took this to Hollywood and says, you know, because Cameron was very influenced by the Dark Knight Dark Knight Returns and some of the darker comic books at the time. He wanted to make Spider-Man more adult and more comic booky. And Carlico Pictures and even Marvel didn't agree with that. They were like, no, we can't do that. We need to back it off. And apparently the script went through several rewrites, and they did finally come to terms with a script where it wasn't as adult. And James Cameron was almost on board signing everything to direct Spider-Man back in 1993 after he had done Terminator, because Terminator 2 was such a huge hit. They were going to give Cameron the money to make Spider-Man, and it apparently had an epic battle at the end of the film that was going to take place in the World Trade Centers and all this. And it just never happened either. It fell through. Cameron fell off the project. As we are obviously aware, we never got a James Cameron Spider-Man film. And at that point, the Spider-Man film's rights ended up in court for years. I don't know if you remember, Matt. Frank might remember a little bit. But it seemed like there was a few months or years that went by, you didn't hear something about the Spider-Man film rights. It might be one of the biggest film right cases to ever make news, because it seemed like every year someone was suing someone over who owed the Spider-Man rights. And they couldn't figure it out. And finally, the courts ruled something happened. I don't really know. And somehow the rights went to Sony and Columbia Pictures. And, of course, we know what's happened from there.
Yes.
In 2002, we finally got Spider-Man on the big screen after 40 years of trying to get him on the big screen with Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy. And arguably, still one of the better comic book film trilogies out there, despite what people think about Spider-Man 3. I rewatched Spider-Man 2 the other day. I found it on Half Price Books for $5 on Blu-ray. I was like, well, I'll buy that one for $5. It's still one of my favorite comic book movies. I love Spider-Man 2. It holds up. But let's not jump to Spider-Man 2. The Sam Raimi trilogy is one definitely, Matt, you remember because you're old enough. Mm-hmm. And that might have been one of your first exposures to comic book films. And what do you guys think about the Raimi trilogy as a whole?
As a whole, I think it started off pretty strong and it was progressing in the right direction. And the third film, I think we expected a little bit more from it. And it kind of ended in a weird way.
And we know, the studio and Raimi weren't getting along at that point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They forced him to put Venom in there. He wanted to only be Sandman, and he wanted Harry to become Green Goblin. He didn't want Venom in the film at all. He wanted to bring the whole story of Green Goblin full circle from the first one with William Defoe's Norman Osborn being killed to Harry versus Peter.
Yeah.
And we know the studio got involved and made Raimi change some things.
See, I just don't get why the studios get involved. You know, it's like when a director, if he's going to jump in for all three movies, if they're doing three on that, they should just sit down and let them do their thing. You know, when you try to, and the studio obviously didn't learn, hasn't learned their lesson about putting too much in a movie. Right. You know, if you got too much going on and it just becomes am I saying it right? Just
convoluted. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Use big words, Frank.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one thing if you would have like taken out Sandman and just put in Venom, but you know, or whatever, one or the other.
Well, yeah, it ended up being too many characters. It became a problem that some of the late Batman films in the 90s suffered from, just too many characters. And at that point, I think script writers and the right directors didn't know how to handle so many characters. And Bryan Singer did a good job with it in the X-Men films. There are some directors that do that. And, and not that Sam Raimi's not capable of doing that. I think Sam Raimi at that point, his heart just wasn't in it. You know, he didn't want Venom in the film. And you can tell the end of the movie feels kind of rushed. The whole thing where he goes emo and all that was just really weird.
Yeah,
and
it took away from the film.
It was kind of like the times.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, was going on in society was that style and everything. Kind of like nowadays, we would probably have him in skinny jeans.
But it's a good point, though. Matt said it was a good point. The trilogy starts out very strong. The first film is really good. Mm-hmm. Good origin. I'm not a big fan of the armored Green Goblin costume. I was like, I like more the traditional,
I really like that they had Macho Man Randy Savage in there. I got you for 15 minutes. 15 minutes of playtime. Hulk Hogan's got the biggest biceps in the world. But these biceps aren't chopped liver,
Ladies and gentlemen, Macho Man Savage.
Actually, we're just being quiet to see how long Matt would ramble.
I had to do that. That was my favorite saying by Macho Man.
You know, it's funny because I'm not a huge...
My favorite is... Snap into a Slim Jim.
I'm not a huge Tobey Maguire fan, but I think he's okay in the role. I didn't think he's...
Yeah.
I think he's kind of a wooden actor, but it's one of those roles he was good in that role. I liked him better than... I know people have said they think Andrew Garfield is better. I don't know. After rewatching Spider-Man 2 the other day, I think Tobey was pretty okay as Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know, I think he did a good job.
I like them both. They just... Who they are, you know? And I hope this new kid does a great job at it.
But, Spider-Man 2, though, is very good. And yes. I think you were sleeping, Frank, so I had texted Matt, and I told him, I said, man, you know, we're going to talk about this in a minute. In Marvel Cinematic, the MCU and Marvel Studios are really going to have to bring it to top Spider-Man 2. I think Spider-Man 2 is a top three comic book film with The Dark Knight and Spider-Man 2.
There's two Spider-Man 2s. Which Spider-Man 2?
The other one's Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
I think it's a top three comic book film ever made with Christopher Reeve, Superman the movie, The Dark Knight, and Spider-Man 2. I think those three films are maybe the three best comic book films made, and it's going to be very hard for them to top Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so well done. Alfred Molina is great as Doc Ock. Toby's on his game in the film. James Franco, despite people laughing at him nowadays in the movies he does. Stop fiddling with the damn microphone wires, Frank.
Not interrupting you. But I will say one thing. I think why Mark's going on a tangent is because Marcus had a boner for Doc Ock since that movie's been out.
Please.
You always talk about, he's so great in it. He's like one of the best villain characters.
Well, no, Alfred Molina plays the role fantastically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in Species. Remember him in Species? He was the one
I only remember the chick getting naked in Species. That's all
I remember.
That's
about it.
Yeah, and he was the victim that she straddled and had the alien baby with.
He was Alfred Molina was also in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh.
At the beginning of the film, he gets stabbed through his face in the cavern at the beginning of the movie. A lot of people don't even know that Alfred Molina was in that film. So the Raimi trilogy, I think overall, is an excellent start for Spider-Man in films. It definitely feels like a late 90s, early 2000s version of Spider-Man because of the time it came out. And granted, we're only 14 years away from that trilogy being started. Doesn't seem like very far, but comic movies are a little different even now than they were in 02, 04 when those came out. Mm-hmm. And so, any other thoughts on that trilogy? Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, she was okay as Mary Jane.
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst, you know, she did a good job as Mary Jane. The only thing
Kirsten Dunst, that's all I cared about. I don't care what role she was playing.
The only beef I ever had with Spider-Man 2 was that Jameson's son returned from a shuttle trip. And whenever he returns, in the comics, when he returns from his shuttle trip,
he
brings Venom. And I was like, when I first saw the movie, I was really hoping to see some kind of symbiote crash into the ground, but it never happened. But, you know, Doc Ock was really good in the movie.
Yeah.
And the whole story about, Spider-Man losing his powers, that happened in the comics.
Yeah, he borrowed that from the comics.
I still think one of the coolest scenes is when he throws the car through the cafe.
Yes.
And it just, like, the wheel glances their face. Yeah,
and how good is J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson?
Oh, dude, spot on.
He's fantastic. I wish they'd bring him back, but now he's going to the DC universe. He's going to play Commissioner Gordon in the Justice League film.
Yes.
And he's so good at the role. I still laugh at his parts to this day. You know, he's hilarious. He's perfect. Maybe he can be in both universes. Maybe they'll bring him back. That'd be nice.
They should.
You know?
They won't, but they should.
They probably won't, but they should. The guy is so good in that role. You talk about people are bored to play roles. You know, people talk about Ryan Reynolds being born to play Deadpool or whoever.
Hugh Jackman, Wolverine.
Yeah, this guy, J.K. Simmons, was born to play J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Triple J. Spider-Man's a villain! I love the scene where he steals a costume and he's like, where he has the costume, he's like, a hero no more. We have to make amends that Spider-Man is no longer going to help us. Then he steals the costume. He's like, he's a thief.
Yeah.
It's so classic. So then Spider-Man 4 was going to get made after this. There were talks that Sony was going to film 4, 5, and 6 all in a row, and they were going to continue the story with Tobey Maguire. They had somehow, Sam Raimi said, I wasn't going to do any more. They talked him back into coming in. He was signed on to make a Spider-Man 4 in 2006. It was going to happen, and he started arguing with the studio about things and things like that, and they wanted him to do 3 in a row, and he's like, no, I'll do 1. Sam Raimi told in public, we're not doing 3 in a row. I don't know why Sony's telling that. I'll do 1 more film. And they were going to bring the Vulture into it, and I'm looking at my notes here, and in 2009, they were going to make the film. Sony had hired writers to make the movie, and they were going to do, like I said, they wanted to film 3 films in a row. And there were rumors that John Malkovich was going to play the Vulture, and Hathaway was going to play Felicia Hardy, who became Black Cat. But there were rumors that the script had her not becoming Black Cat, but becoming like the Vulturist instead.
Weird.
Yeah, weird, what? Right? And so eventually the film fell apart because Raimi didn't want to do it. They kept pushing release dates back. And as we know, it never did happen. We never got a Spider-Man 4 from Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire. And then Tobey Maguire hadn't even signed on to the project yet because they were talking about recasting Spider-Man, and Sam Raimi didn't want to do that. He's like, no, I'm only going to do it if Tobey and them come back. But Tobey wanted more money. That's just the way Hollywood works. So we never got the continuation of the Sam Raimi films. And I wonder sometimes what they might have been, you know. Because I did enjoy the trilogy enough, you know, to see what they would have gone from there. So, of course, we got the reboot in 2012 with The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield in the role. And we get the Lizard on screen finally. And that was one thing I really wanted to see in the other ones because we had Doc Connors in it.
Yes.
I kept thinking, man, is he going to become the Lizard? And we never got it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got it. We got a live-action Lizard in The Amazing Spider-Man. Now the reboots, I don't totally hate that film. It's got some good moments in it. You know, I'm not so sure about the skateboarding hipster Peter Parker. He should be a little more nerdier and dorky than he is. He's a little too cool.
He is.
Because
cool.
In high school, if you're that cool, you're going to get the chick. You know, he wasn't nerdy enough.
He didn't fight Flash.
Yeah, there's no Flash Thompson fight in it.
Mm-hmm.
There just were elements they left out that should have been in a Spider-Man film. But the movie has some good action sequences in it. I like the fact they went back to Captain Stacy and Gwen Stacy in that storyline, and Emma Stone is adorable as Gwen Stacy. We all agreed on that before. And the reboot did okay, did well enough. They did a sequel with Electro. I didn't like the sequel very much. I only own it because I have my son likes it, so I bought it so he could watch it. But I think the sequel's pretty bad.
I only have it on digital copy because I found the code laying on the floor. So I was like, cool.
I think the sequel's pretty bad. It's just it has a lot of problems. What did y'all think about the reboots overall? The Amazing Spider-Man films.
Visually, I like them. Like, there's a lot of visual entertainment.
Definitely darker.
Yeah, darker. The tone, you know, it's different. It's different. I won't say that I enjoyed them more than Tobey Maguire, but it was a nice different spin on Spider-Man.
I liked the first one. The second one was kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
For the most part. It's kind of sound weird, but where she died, I kind of like that part.
That was the best part of the second one.
Because it was unexpected. Like,
well,
like
I was going to be a comic fan who was coming. But
I mean, for most people, that was like just the way it happened, that little quick snap right there.
Yeah.
Like, but,
it just wasn't fast enough.
You know, but the Green Goblin thing at the end felt rushed. And the kid who plays Green Goblin is such a terrible actor.
Yeah.
He's really bad in the role. Yeah, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 has a lot of problems, but we're going to fix that. We're not even going to delve in those films that much because they just weren't that good. The Amazing Spider-Man was pretty okay, but the Spider-Man
and
2...
And we get our third reboot.
And, well...
In a sense.
We're getting a reboot. We're getting a re-establishment of Spider-Man as he comes into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In 2 weeks, he will be appearing in Captain America Civil War. And that might be my main thing I'm looking most excited about. Yeah, I want to see Civil War, but I'm pretty excited for Spider-Man being in the film. I do like the character Spider-Man. He's probably maybe my top three or four characters of all time. Everyone knows I love Batman the most, but I do enjoy Spider-Man a lot. I think he's a really cool, interesting character. I think it's one of Stan Lee's absolute greatest creations. It might be his greatest creation.
Without a doubt, it is.
I mean, yes. I mean, yeah, as much as we love the Hulk and X-Men and everyone else Stan created, Spider-Man probably is his greatest creation that he ever made, and we're thankful to the world that he gave him to us. And so I'm excited for this. I'm really excited to see where Marvel takes it. And there's the possibilities are so endless now, because it seems like even though Sony's going to have distribution rights and they're going to have says on who Marvel brings in and directors, doesn't it start to feel like you guys that Marvel's calling the shots more than Sony is? You know,
I think it's in Sony's best interest
to let Marvel do
what their track history is with the character versus what Marvel and Disney's doing with the current comic books that they own, that it's best for them just to sit back, let Marvel do what Marvel and Disney does best, and it creates fun action films, and just reaping the money distributing it.
That's absolutely right.
And making money off of probably merchandise as well.
Sony just needs to put forth the distribution money, the production money, and let Marvel hire who they want to hire. Let Marvel do what they want to do. Sony simply pays for it and sits back and reaps the rewards.
And the ones that own Fantastic Four basically just need to do the same thing.
Well, I mean, and the sad thing is about... That's a whole other thing, but real quick on that. Sad thing about 20th Century Fox is they've done a really good job with the X-Men film. And they did a good job with Deadpool. Well, I guess that's in the X-Men universe. Why can't they do a good job with Fantastic Four? You know?
That's a good question.
But maybe we'll get a... I would love a great Fantastic Four movie one day.
Because Chris Evans is Captain America.
That's what it is. That's why. I mean, I would love a great Fantastic Four movie one day. Maybe we'll get it. So, Spider-Man Homecoming next year. Spider-Man coming Marvel Universe. What do you think we're going to see from this? Where do you think they're going to go? I mean, we're getting Iron Man in Spider-Man Homecoming. It's pretty exciting. There's been rumors that Tom Holland was on the set of Doctor Strange. Maybe he'll appear at least in a cameo as Peter Parker.
That would be cool.
You know, that would be kind of cool.
They crossed over in the comics.
Where else do you think Spider-Man... What do you guys think Spider-Man will pop up besides the Avengers film? Because I'm pretty sure it'll be in Infinity War. Do you think he'll pop up anywhere else in the next couple of years?
Maybe in the films that they're releasing, if they ever release Inhumans now, and then Captain Marvel, maybe.
I can see him popping Captain Marvel. James Gunn's already said no Spider-Man Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Why not? That would be awesome, because that would be totally unexpected.
Because it's not on Earth yet. From what James Gunn has said, don't expect the Guardians to reach Earth yet. He's kind of said that this is going to be in space, and Guardians probably won't reach Earth until the Avengers films.
And we only know for sure that Star-Lord is going to reach Earth.
Right. Yeah, we don't even know that all the Guardians will. So. You know, I would love to see him maybe appear on one of the Netflix shows. Have Tom Holland appear on Daredevil as a cameo. He doesn't have to appear as Spider-Man just to save him money and special effects.
Cool if Daredevil appears as Spider-Man.
Yeah, Daredevil and Spider-Man are two characters that are always very closely knit together because they're street-level heroes and stuff. And Daredevil has appeared in Spider-Man a lot over the years. And they have said that more Marvel characters will appear in Spider-Man Homecoming. It may not be just Robert Downey Jr. I would love to see Charlie Cox appear in there. What if we get John Bernthal in the Spider-Man movie? And the Punisher makes an appearance.
Yeah.
You know, so,
well, why not? Because, man, that classic Punisher Spider-Man cover.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
When Punisher's trying to hunt Spider-Man because he's a menace.
Yeah.
So that's one possible. The Punisher, Daredevil, they could appear in a Spider-Man film. Those are part of the TV universe. And the cinematic universe, besides Iron Man, I don't know. He seems the most practical one to appear.
Iron Fist?
Well, that's TV. I was talking about the ones that are in the movies. Yeah, and we haven't had the Iron Fist TV series yet.
Oh, that's right.
It probably won't even premiere until next summer around the time Spider-Man hits theaters. So, but Spider-Man...
Now, are you talking about, like, from other movies into the movies or just from the TV to the movies?
We talked about TV in the movies. I was talking about other characters that can appear in a Spider-Man movie.
Ant-Man?
Ant-Man would be a good possibility. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wouldn't be surprised at all, actually, as we get closer to Spider-Man Homecoming, start filming here in the next few months, that they do mention Ant-Man along with Iron Man. Falcon, he's a possibility.
Oh, yeah, Falcon.
I don't see, now that they got Robert Downey Jr. in the film, we're not going to get Chris Evans or anybody like that.
Nah.
No other big name actors. Plus, Chris Evans is going to die in two weeks anyway.
Saying. Yeah, probably.
You know, oh, wait, shit, was that a spoiler? Actually, I don't know he's going to die, people. I don't know the spoiler, but a lot of rumor is that he's going to die.
It's like, you see that still photo. Winter Soldier's arm's ripped off.
And he'll come back and
what is your obsession with the Winter Soldier and his arm, Matt? I'm like every time we bring up
that character, the Winter Soldier,
he likes
man.
The use of his arm.
That's like like saying Captain America and a shield, and you're like, what's up with Captain America?
He likes the way he strokes his arm with
Matt
it.
Matt just wishes he had like a mechanical arm.
Nah, man, that would hurt, wouldn't it? too hard.
I don't know, but you could regulate it, and he maybe vibrates. I don't know. It's
like, okay. Stroke,
thinking to
vibrate.
Myself now.
And then fake Mexican toys on this episode.
So Marvel is bringing Spider-Man into their Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we hope you enjoyed that little history of Spider-Man coming to the big screen, being on television. And we don't know what we're getting past Spider-Man Homecoming, other than we know that Spider-Man will appear in the Avengers Infinity War Part 1 or Part 2. I don't know. We'll know more as it gets closer to those films. But Marvel and Sony have confirmed that Spidey will pop up in those. He could pop up in films other than Captain America Civil War in the next couple of years. We'll have to wait and see what happens. When is Avengers? Is it 2018 for part one? I think so. So we have Doctor Strange, Guardians Volume 2, Spider-Man, and Thor next year, then Infinity War. So I guess Thor Ragnarok's the last one before. Panther's in there somewhere.
No Hulk movies?
No. I thought Hulk's going to be in Thor Ragnarok. Yeah, they did announce that Thor will be in...
And speaking about the Avengers, I can understand why they wrote Thor and the Hulk out of this, because it's really like they're both so powerful. Because
then they would have had to call it Avengers 3, but it's Captain America Civil War.
But right, but when you're picking teams, you would throw one on one side, one on the other side, and literally they would just fight to a draw in a sense.
That's like if you were splitting up the Justice League, you'd have to take Wonder Woman and Superman out of it, so that you
and
have
apparently they
a
will,
fair, some fair fights.
Apparently they'll explain that, I guess. I guess Thor Ragnarok, the idea is it's going to take place about the same time as Civil War when it comes out, so that will explain why they're not in the film.
Well, yeah.
So, Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man, pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, good stuff.
So we hope you enjoy that history about Spider-Man. But before we go, I want to talk about, you can find, like we said, the Rebel Radio Podcast. If anyone who listens to the show knows, we are home at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com along with the Warp Cave. And I'm fixing to add a friend of our show to our little mini network because he asked if we could. It's not exactly the things we cover, but it's called the Secular Barbershop. It's more, I don't know, neo-politics and things like that. But the guy helps the Evil Dr. Tran on his show, and he's a supporter of ours, so I told him I would throw a link up there as part of our little thing, so I have to get around doing that. And you can also find us on the Tangent Bound PC Network, and you can find us at the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, which is houstonnerd.org, which is a bunch of local podcasts here in Houston. And on that, we do a question of the week presented by the Houston Nerdcasting Collective. And this week's question is, if you could go back and revisit any media for the first time ever, video games, movies, music, I guess comic books, anything, what would it be? So what would be something if you could revisit for the first time, like you've never seen it before, like, and not sex, Frank, immediately, for the first time ever to experience it?
For me, it'd have to be movies. I love movies so much. I'd like to go back and maybe see Star Wars, or I never got to see Terminator 2 on the big screen, so, you know, something
Well, no, it's
like
not
that.
So much about seeing on the big screen, it's about experiencing that piece of media for the first time ever.
Yeah, my first movie was Ed TV. I'd like to go back and see a better movie as my first movie, you know? Ed TV.
Biscuit.
Porn? Nah, music. I'm just kidding. Then porn.
That's a tough question for me. I'm gonna cheat here and pick two. I would love to experience music and movies first. Music, because I love music, as we talked about earlier in the show. Huge Pearl Jam fan. What would it be like to? Not that I'm not old enough to remember the first time I heard that band, but still, just to really maybe experience music on vinyl in the early days, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, those guys, and hear them for the first time again. But I love movies too. I would love to go see movies with the sense that I used to have, the sense of wonderment that I don't get so much now because of the internet and the trailers and being prepared for things to come out. I very rarely walk into a movie and have that sense of wonderment anymore. You know, so those would both be things that I would do, I think would be cool.
Well, we picked two, Matt. What would your second one be?
I guess video games. Yeah. I have to go with video games.
I guess. You know. And porn.
And porn.
And porn.
Yeah. Porn.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
So, I think that's all we've got today. I can't think of anything else. I mean, we covered a lot of Spider-Man history. As we get ready, we are 2 weeks away from Captain America Civil War. And I think we're bringing you one more episode before Civil War. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I'll think of something. And, of course, we'll be bringing you our review of Civil War. That weekend that the film hits, we will be talking Captain America Civil War and our thoughts on the movie after we see it. Go to TrustMeMyJedi.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever else media we're on. Mostly Facebook and Twitter is what we use the most. And check out our YouTube channel for some cool promos, which I know we've been promising we're going to bring you more. We just haven't had time. We still definitely want to do more.
Definitely.
Maybe if a miracle happens, we'll get them done before Comic Palooza, because that would be great, but we'll see. This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
This is Mark. Thank you for listening, as always, to Rebel Radio Podcast. And na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. We're out of here.
Spooter.
Bat Spooter. All
right.
Oh, my God.
This is James O'Barr on Rebel Radio. Thanks for listening.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?